Years ago, there was a man who hired an experienced guide to lead him on a hike through the Swiss Alps. And after several hours of climbing, they came to this high mountain pass, and the man was shocked to see that the path in front of him had almost been washed away. On his left was a sheer rock cliff, and to his right was a cliff that dropped nearly 1,000 feet. And so as he looked straight ahead, he began to feel his head get a little faint and his knees begin to buckle. And at that moment, his guide shouted out to him, "Don't look down. If you do, you're a dead man. Keep your eyes fixed on me." And he went on and he said, "Put your feet where my feet go. And if you do, you'll get to the other side safely." The man did exactly as he was told, and with each step, exactly in the same steps as his guide, he soon found himself out of danger on the other side. You know, as the new year begins, that's some good advice for us. As the economists try to project what the future is going to look like this year, the truth is no one knows what lies ahead for any of us. You know, we can plan and dream about our future, and God wants us to plan for our futures as well, but no one knows what's going to happen except for God. There's going to become a time when you find yourself in a place where the way ahead will seem impossible, like the man in the illustration. And when that happens, you can either panic or you can fix your eyes on Jesus and carefully follow him as he guides you and leads you in life. And I can promise you, if you do that, if you follow him, it may be difficult at times, but he will lead you through to the other side. Every time the calendar turns to January, you know, we begin this new year with expectations, and it's exciting because it's new. Something new is happening. And there's always something that's going to change from year to year in our lives, because change is one of the constants in our life. Seasons change, people change. You may change your job. You may even change your favorite sports team. The list goes on and on. Some of the changes can be positive. You get promoted at work. That's exciting, right? The first warm day of spring. I'm already looking forward to it. I can dream, can't I? Other changes in life can be painful. A marriage ends. Unexpectedly being let go at your job. A child goes through traumatic experience. A loved one passes on. All these experiences in life can bring happiness, sadness, joy, fear. Yet how you respond to them will determine your outlook in life. The changes in our lives can either bring us closer to God or it'll either push us farther away from him. So instead of making New Year's resolutions about eating healthier and exercising that you know you're just going to quit 2 weeks later, instead allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and begin to change you this year so that at the end of the year you're going to find yourself closer to God than where you are right now. Because that's what God wants for your life. He doesn't want you to stay still. He wants you to continue to draw closer to him. And so will you stand with me this morning out of respect for reading the Word of God? I want to read from Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 13. It says this, "I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." Let's pray. Father, as we begin this new year, God, 2025 is over. 2026 is here. God, we look forward to what lies ahead. And so I pray right now, God, may we dream about the good things that you have in store for us. And God, may we be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, because you want to do some works and changes in our lives so that we can continue to draw closer to you and live passionately for you. And so I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. As we start this new year, you know, we really don't have to be afraid of what is to come. We can look forward to what lies ahead of us with eagerness because God is for us, and He wants us to be successful in every little thing that we do. And so this morning, I want to share some areas in our life that we can make a change for the better. The first one is we need to cultivate a cheerful attitude. There was a story of a woman who woke up one morning, and she looked into the mirror and noticed that she only had 3 strands of hair left on her head. While a little shocked, she said, "Well, I think I'm going to braid my hair today." She did, and she had the most wonderful day. The next day, she woke up and looked into the mirror and discovered that she only had 2 strands of hair. She said, "I think I'm going to part my hair today." She did just that, and she had such a grand day. Well, the next morning, she woke up and looked into the mirror, and she realized she only had 1 strand of hair left on her head. She said, "Well, I think I'm going to wear my hair in a ponytail today." And she did just that, and she had such a fun day that day. The next morning, she woke up, looked into the mirror, and noticed there was not a single strand of hair left on her head. And she screamed, "Yay! I don't have to do my hair today." You know, that story's a little ridiculous, but it really does give us this interesting insight into how we can view our life. For most of us, we see those strands of hair that begin to disappear, and we can lose our self-worth, our confidence. In Proverbs 15:13, it says, "A cheerful heart brings a smile to your face. A sad heart makes it hard to get through the day." You know, what will it take for you to feel better about your life? When Paul wrote these words in our opening text that I read to you this morning, he understood that life was difficult. He understood that life will throw everything at you. Life will try to knock you down. And when he wrote this passage, he's sitting in a prison. And yet he never loses focus of his purpose in life, and that was to proclaim God's glory of who Jesus is and what Jesus did for us. He told everyone that he could about what Jesus had done for him and what Jesus had done for them as well. See, Paul understood that life is temporary and that when life here on this earth ends, it is just the beginning. And Paul never lost sight in the goal, and that was to know Christ, to make him known, and to spend eternity with him in heaven. And so when we make knowing Jesus our goal, then when we encounter a setback in life, we don't have to lose sight of who God is and what he wants in our life. Every day we can make that conscious decision to follow after him. And when we remember that, then we can take all the negatives that come along our day. We can take everything that comes, and we can say, "You know what? I will choose to be cheerful because of who God is and what he's done in my life." See, we don't have to think that way because we're oblivious to what's going on, or to just try to wish it away, or even try to think happy thoughts. When we commit our lives to Christ, when we live for him, when we follow after him, he is the one who's leading us. He's the one who's guiding us. He is the one who is there with us, and he will take care of all of us through our troubles, through our pain. He can take everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, and use it for his glory. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." See, when I understand that God is in control of everything, then when I find myself in despair, when I find myself struggling, When I say, woe is me, why is this happening? I can turn to him and I can put my faith and trust in him that he's going to turn it around, make something good out of it. It may not be what you're thinking, but he can make it good. And then you can find yourself praising the one who has everything under control. See, the world says that we have to feel good, and the only way to do that is to climb the ladder of success. That if I just get this promotion at work, everything is going to be all right. That if I make this much amount of money, then I will be able to live comfortably, and I won't have a worry in life. That if I join this circle of friends at school, everything's going to be good for me. And then I'm going to feel good about myself. But the truth is that if we look at it this way, we'll never have enough. We'll never have enough money. We'll never have the right friends. We'll never have enough. We'll be always looking for that next promotion or looking to find where that grass is greener on the other side. And you'll never be satisfied. You'll always be wanting more and looking for more. See, the Bible teaches us that we should cultivate a cheerful attitude because there is a God that loves us and died for us. And that when we understand that there is a God that loves us, that he has a purpose and a plan for us, that he can use whatever situation that we find ourselves in, that he can turn it around for his glory, then no matter what comes our way, that when you see yourself losing those strands of hair, you can say, you know what, today is going to be a good day because it doesn't matter what outward circumstances say. I know there is a God that loves me and cares for me, has a purpose and plan for me. And I choose to find joy in that. Secondly, let's learn to seek to serve others. There was a pastor who was trying to organize opportunities for people in his church to do just random acts of kindness to demonstrate Christ's love to their community. And so he began to contact the neighborhood grocery stores and laundromats and wanted to get their approval and permission so that they could serve their customers. And as he shared his idea with this one grocery store employee, the person hesitated. And he said, you know what, I'm going to need to ask my manager first, but I want to understand what you want to do. And so I want to be clear. You want to come and clean up our parking lot, retrieve the shopping carts, hold umbrellas for our customers, and you don't want anything in return. Yeah, that's right, the pastor replied. After a long wait on hold, the employee returned to the phone and said, I'm sorry, we can't let you serve our customers because if we let you do it, we'd have to let everyone else do it. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if all of a sudden you went to your grocery store and someone carried an umbrella with you so that as you're walking out and it's pouring rain, you're not getting soaking wet? Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was someone there to take your cart and put it away so that other carts don't hit your car? That'd be wonderful. It just doesn't make sense. If you want to make a change this year for the better, we need to learn to serve one another. A person who's prideful will not get down on their hands and knees to clean up something that they didn't spill themselves, but a humble person will. Pride will tell you that you're too good to do that. Pride will say, you know what, that's beneath me. It's a menial task. Somebody else should be doing that. But as passionate followers of Christ, when God comes into your life, we should be the greatest servants of all. We should look for ways to serve others because that's what Jesus did. He demonstrated serving. In Philippians 2, verse 5, it says, the attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had took the nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. Jesus modeled what it meant to be a servant. He demonstrated it to us. He showed us his love and his compassion by leaving heaven, coming to this earth as a human to serve us and to die for our sins. Think about your family, right? If you love them, you will do anything for them. No matter how difficult the task is, you are going to try your very best to make sure that it gets done. The Sunday after Thanksgiving, our family's tradition is to decorate our Christmas tree. And so Jeanette that Sunday reminded our family that at 4 o'clock, we're going to gather together, we're going to decorate the tree. And I have to be honest, I enjoy watching my kids hang the ornaments more than I like hanging the ornaments. It may have to do with some glitter that's somewhere around some ornaments and stuff, and so I don't know. I may not like to touch those. But I enjoy watching others decorate my tree. But I thought, you know what? I want to show Jeanette that I'm going to give my all, that this matters. I'm going to give my best. And so I put on my Christmas pajamas that she bought for me so that I could get in the spirit and just celebrate Christmas. And so I told her how excited I was to decorate and to do this. And she looked at me and she surprisingly was like, you know what? Don't be sarcastic. And I was like, no, I'm actually being true. I really was doing my very best. And, you know, I was serious. I wanted to give my best. God has uniquely created each and every one of us. He's given each and every one of us talents, personalities, skill sets, so that we can be a blessing to others. And so when I serve others, I discover my giftings. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he compared the church to a human body, and just like our bodies are made up of all different parts, each part has its own specific function. And you and I are part of the body of Christ, and we are all made up with unique skill sets and personalities and talents and abilities. And when we begin to serve other people, we're able to discover the gifts that God has given us. We're able to use the talents and learn about those talents that God has created us to have. And that's one of the great things about fine arts for our students, is that it's all about helping these students to discover their gifts, that they begin to learn how God has shaped them and the talents and gifts that they've given them. And they begin to learn to grow in them and use them. And so when I use my gifts, I really get to discover how God has shaped me and the blessings I can be to other people. You know, maybe you bake some cookies at the Christmas cookie sale, and people were eating them in the lobby, and they ate them all. And they were talking about how good they are, and you discovered, you know what? My baking is pretty good. Right? Maybe it's another gift, talent that God has given you. When you serve other people, you begin to discover how God has gifted you, and you can use those gifts and talents to help bless other people. You know, when I serve others, I get to experience miracles. In John chapter 2, it tells us about how Jesus and the disciples, they're at this wedding, and throughout the wedding, all of a sudden, they begin to run out of wine. And if you've watched The Chosen, you've seen this story and this event. And so Jesus, he tells the servants to gather all the big jars and fill them to the very top with water. He prays and tells them to go serve all the guests. And as they begin to serve the guests, the water turns into wine. The guests never knew what happened, but all the servants witnessed the miracle. And the same is true for us. It may not be a miracle in the sense of water turning into wine, but when you come alongside someone who doesn't know how to change a flat tire and they desperately need help and you change it for them, or their battery is dead and you come out of the grocery store and you're walking through the parking lot and they can't start their car and you're able to give their car a jump start, you being there at that right moment to help them, it's a miracle for them. When you're there and you serve someone and they're not expecting it, you see the gratitude upon their face, the excitement. It is a miracle. They are so happy that you showed up right there and then. You see, when I serve others, my faith increases. When you move out of your comfort zone and you begin to serve other people, God will increase your faith by revealing the new possibilities for yourself and how you can be a blessing to the church as well. When you see what God can do with his power at work within you, you begin to see all the doors that God is opening up for you. And you begin to believe with more and more that God can use you in greater ways. And your faith will begin to increase greater and greater, believing that God can do more and more. You see, when I serve others, I experience God's presence. When we serve others, when we step out in faith, when we meet someone else's need, when we bring comfort to them, they're hurting and we come alongside them. When we share the good news of Jesus with someone who hasn't experienced his love, hasn't experienced their forgiveness, these opportunities are to be a blessing to someone so they can see who God is. And when we step out in faith like that, serve other people, we are relying upon God's strength, upon his guidance to help us. When we use our gifts and talents to serve others, we're creating space for God to move in an incredible way in our own life, but also for those that we're ministering to and serving. Years ago, I was an assistant to a hospital chaplain, and it was so fun. I had free reign of the hospital. I could go to any floor, any room, and just walk in and greet people and ask if I could pray with them or read scripture passages to them. And the strangest thing would happen is I'd walk in and I'd introduce myself and I'd say, is there anything I can do? Is there anything I could pray with you about? And most of the responses were this: no, I'm good. And it made me laugh because you're sitting in a hospital. If you are good, why are you paying to sit here and eat hospital food? Because if you stay any longer, you will not be good. I can understand that, right? But through the course of the conversation, I'd end up praying with them and reading a scripture passage. And often when I was leaving, they would say, thank you so much for stopping by and praying. You made my day. But honestly, there had been so many times where I'd walk away just sensing God's presence. And as much as I ministered to that person, I felt God blessing me. I felt his presence. When we serve others, we're showing others the love of God. It allows us to love others by extending compassion. It allows us to give assistance to those in need. It allows us to take our eyes off of our own circumstances, off of our life, off of what we're going through, and begin to put them on someone else and focus on others. When we serve others, it helps us to be grateful for what we have and how God has blessed us. Colossians 3:23 says, do your work willingly as though you were serving the Lord himself and not just your earthly master. In fact, the Lord Christ is the one you are really serving, and you know he will reward you. God has given each of us the ability to serve. And when we serve others, we're honoring God. Every time we serve, it's an opportunity for us to grow in our faith. It's an opportunity for us to build a relationship with someone. It's an opportunity for us to point someone to Christ. And it's an opportunity for us to experience the joy of being a part of what God is doing. And so this year, if you aren't serving somewhere, I want to encourage you, find a place to get involved and serve. Whether it's with our children's or youth ministry or being a greeter at the door or even serving meals at our funeral dinners, find a place where you can serve and be a blessing to others. And then third, embrace God's plan for you. A couple of years ago, our family, we planned to go out west on this great trip where we were going to go to Yellowstone, the Grand Tetons, and the Grand Canyon. Just do this big, giant trip. But first, we were going to go up to Mackinac Island and take a day there and just ride our bikes around the island like we normally do. And so on the first day, we went up. And that year, Canada had fires, and so all the smoke was coming into Michigan. And for the first time we'd been there, all of a sudden, gnats were everywhere. And Ella, she decided to put her hoodie over her face as we're pedaling around the island. And she wanted to cover face to protect herself from the gnats. And as she did, she pedaled off the road. And so when she went to come back onto the road, her tire hit the curb of it, and she flipped right over her handlebars, landing on the ground. Her first words were, "My arm's broken." And that's not good. It began to set off this chain reaction of events. Where do we go? We're in the middle of nowhere. So we asked, "Where's the hospital?" "I don't know," they said. "Don't go to the visitor center there. They're not very helpful." And so we had to Google and search, and so we went to a hospital, and the wait time was going to be 2 hours. We waited an hour, and no one was seen. We're like, we're going somewhere else. And so we drove another hour and a half, another place, to go get an x-ray. See, that changed everything. We no longer were able to go to the Grand Canyon. We got to see the Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons, but we had to cut our trip short. But at the end of the trip, Jeanette said, "You know, it was a good thing that we weren't able to go to the Grand Canyon, because that trip would have been way too long." Have you ever made plans, and those plans fell through, and you were kind of glad that they did because the result was a lot better? The thing that came up now was better than what you had planned. Obviously, Ella breaking her arm wasn't something great, but it's a story we got now. There are moments when we simply need to be reminded that God's ways, His plans, are far better than our own. And we may be walking through it, and we may not understand it, and it may not look like it. I got to tell you, I was a little disappointed we weren't going to go to the Grand Canyon. Didn't understand it. But when we put our trust in God, His ways are better than our own. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path smooth." I love smooth paths. I love being able to drive from Michigan into Ohio, and I could close my eyes and I could tell you the moment we cross over, because Michigan roads are not smooth. I don't know why Ohio's is, but Michigan's aren't. We got to step it up, Michigan. When we walk with God, when we follow after Him, when we put our faith and trust in Him, He will make our path smooth. And it's hard sometimes to trust someone when Even if they haven't broken your trust. Remember, as a parent, your children growing up, and you're in the pool, and they're standing on the edge wanting to jump in, and they're sitting there, and you're like, jump, jump, I'll catch you. And they're like, will you? I don't know. Right? You've never dropped them before that they remember. And they're sitting there, and they're like, I really want to jump. And you're like, jump, I'll catch you. And they're like, do you promise? Yes, I promise. But what if you don't? I will. Right? And you tell them, you promise that they are safe in your arms, that they can trust you, that you wouldn't let anything happen to them. And then your child finally jumps in, and you catch them. And then all of a sudden, for the next hour, that's all they want to do. Because they understand that they can trust you. We can trust the Father to jump into his arms. He will catch us, and he will lead us and guide us. But unfortunately, we're like that child. God, are you really going to? Will you really do this? You know, I can trust you to forgive my sins. I can trust that I'm going to go to heaven. But can I trust you with my everyday life? The decisions I have to make. Can I trust you to lead me and guide me? See, God requires our whole heart. He wants our unwavering trust. And that means trusting him. Not just when everything's going perfect, but even when we can't see the way out. You get let go of your job. How are you going to make your mortgage payment? With inflation being so high, how are you able to put food on the table? Your daughter breaks her arm in the middle of nowhere. Where are you going to go? Where do you go for help? Who do you turn to? See, it's easy to trust God when we're depositing more into our bank account than we're taking out. It's easy to trust God when everything's going great in our life. But God wants us to embrace him. He wants us to trust him in every part of our life. And when we do, he will pull you through. He will make your road smooth. See, when God brings change into our life, we really have two options. We can fight it, or we can embrace it. And I've learned it's a whole lot easier in life to embrace what God wants to do than to fight it. It's a whole lot better to embrace what God wants to do than to say no as well. And God may not show you the whole picture of what he's planning and what he wants to do, and if he did, you probably wouldn't agree to it anyways. But God wants you to just trust him. If you look at the story of Ruth in the Bible, it's a story of someone who faced incredible loss. She left her homeland. Her husband passes away. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, tells her, you know what, just return back to your own homeland. Don't come back with me. And yet she refuses and she returns with Naomi. And then they struggle there to live as well, taking leftover crops up off the ground. But then Boaz steps in and he marries her. Ruth didn't understand her journey. She didn't understand everything. She just embraced God's plan for her. Would it have been easier to go back to her own land and see her old family? Probably. But she would have missed out on an incredible blessing because she ended up being the great-great-grandmother of King David. And if you follow the lineage, it goes all the way to Jesus. If she didn't embrace God's plan, she wouldn't have been in that. See, God has a plan for you. And you might struggle with wanting to know everything. You might want to know the whole picture. He's not going to give it to you. He wants you to trust him. And when you trust him with those little steps first, it makes it a whole lot easier to trust him when he asks you to take a big leap. See, the changes you face aren't random. God's using them to shape you, to strengthen you, to humble you, to draw you closer to him. And you can trust that God's plan is good, and he wants you to embrace it and embrace him, for he has something good in store for you. And so let's take a look at our growth work this morning. He said, be flexible. Learn to be flexible. You know, as we get older, that's something we have to learn to do, is to be flexible. It is amazing these little toddlers can stick their legs over their heads. And as we get older, it is just hard to just bend over and put on our shoes, right? You can't sit on the ground crisscrossed anymore, right? As you get older, your body begins to fight bending over. It just says, no, we do not want to do that. And if you do, something bad's going to happen. Yet the same can be true. We can resist mentally changing as well. You know, you get stuck in a routine and you think, you know what, this way is good. It's been working. Why change it? Everything is just going fine. But God says, I've got something else in store for you. And if you're not flexible, you might miss out on what God wants. And so learn to be flexible to the changes that God wants to do in your life. Secondly, identify an area that needs to change. Sometimes we think that everything is fine, nothing should change, everything is good. If it's not broken, don't fix it, right? A.W. Tozer said, complacency is easy, and it is a deadly foe of spiritual growth. Don't become complacent in your life. Look for an area in your life that needs a little more attention, something that maybe you need to stop doing. Maybe it's something you need to start doing. But start by picking just one thing. Work on that. Don't make it complicated by saying, you know, I want to do these 10 different things right now. You don't have the time and energy to do that. Just focus on one. Pick one area of change and grow. Grow relationally, grow mentally, physically, grow spiritually. And then third, ask God for help. Ask God for help. If you could do it on your own, you would have done it already. We should always be saying, God, I need you. I need your help with this. And so ask the Holy Spirit to come, to give you the strength to make the change. You know, if you want to stop eating junk food and eat healthier this year, you're going to need God's help. Because when you get that sugar craving for that sugary goodness that you've been devouring for the last 36 years of your life, it's going to be hard to stop. You're going to need God to remind you that carrots are a lot healthier. They may not taste better, but they are healthier. And you're going to need God's help, his strength, to help you. So ask God. Say, God, help me in this area. Help me not to be tempted to go back to what I was doing. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. He is there. He is there to help you, to give you strength, and to help you to keep moving forward. See, it can be easy to put off until tomorrow what we should be doing today. But change, it's going to happen. And instead of allowing changes in our life to push us further away from God, choose to make changes that will bring you closer to God this year. Let's pray. Father, as this new year begins, God, there's excitement with the new year, new life, new beginnings. And God, I pray for each and every one of us. God, may we desire to know you more, to follow after you, to live for you each and every day of our life. And if you're here this morning or if you're watching online and you have not made that decision to invite Jesus into your life, to forgive you of your sins, this first Sunday of the new year would be the perfect day to do so. And so if you want to make that decision, will you just pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for loving me and dying for me. And I ask you right now, may you come and may you forgive me of all my sins and make me a new person. And though I don't understand everything, I do know I need you in my life today. And so I ask you to help me to live for you. Help me to live each day for you. And help me to know you more and more. And say yes to you each day in Jesus' name. God, I pray for the rest of us. Lord, I pray that we would choose to have a cheerful attitude. God, that we will look at this life understanding that you are the one leading us and guiding us. And that even when bad things happen, when our world falls apart, you are there and you can make a bad situation into something good. And so God, I pray, may our mindset be focused on you. May we find areas to serve using our giftings and talents that you've given us. May we find the joy in serving, blessing others. God, may we sense your presence in all that we do, I pray. And so, God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and crossed that line of faith with me this morning, we have a gift that we'd love to give you. If you're watching online, if you would just email us at info@woodland.church, we'd be glad to give it to you. It's going to help you to understand who God is more and what your next steps are as well. And so just reach out. We'd be glad to give it to you. If you're here, if you just go to the crossing and just say, can I have that book? We'd be glad to give it to you as well. Will you stand with me this morning? I want to pray this prayer blessing over you as we start this new year. It's from Numbers chapter 6. It says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord protect you. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show his favor and give you peace upon you this year, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. You're dismissed.